Talk about a transformation, Gwen Stefani. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Saturday mornings, the second day of August. We sit here in an 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning and all No Doubt fans out in Loganville. Gwen Stefani fans.
All right, Loganville out on Highway 78. Good morning, y'all.
And again, talk about a transformation from her days with No Doubt to where she looks right now, or how she looks right now, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, two things happened. We were having some fun here before we get into this college football. I said to Noelle, and she echoed back something. I said, boy, poor Justin Timberlake. He might actually have called him dudes from NSYNC because he can't get out of his own way these days.
Yeah,
something else
is
going
on
with him. Hey, now he's got Lyme disease.
Yeah, never saw that this week.
But he had other issues. It was a speeding thing. And so Noelle said he's had the worst career post-Super Bowl that she can think of. He's not been that dude they chose beforehand and who he was. And now he's had so many other issues that have gone on. Not major, but just it's taken a luster off him, right? That he might agree to that concert tour with them other four dudes, and they may say, to you.
You
they might. And here's the other thing that just was just
he can't do that thing with Fallon anymore.
Well, he can do it, but you know what I'm saying. He to go out musically on his own versus him, reuniting with NSYNC.
Yeah.
What do you think would be more beneficial to him right now? 5 years ago, not so much.
Right.
Right now, maybe. I'm not a big fan of I wasn't a fan of them dudes, but I know that they. Made girls weak in the knees when they were popping and all that. So now,
if they were to go out and and do some shows,
it would a residency,
it would be a draw. Oh, well, or a draw, yeah, absolutely, a residency.
And then you said something that I was not expecting because asking Noelle a question if she was a fan of Sex and the City because you gave me these cards with these little trivia questions on there,
mm-hmm.
and you thought I was talking to you, and you went, "Why they bring in what did you say?
Kim Cattrall
back?" And yeah. I just listened. I said, "What?" And then you went. Yeah, I'm a fan of hers. So Sam was just confessing that he's a fan of Sex and the City, or at least one of the characters.
One of the characters.
I mean, yeah, Samantha would also bring me back into the fold. I'm not going to lie to you. These three are boring without their blonde counterpart.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they could, they should have fought it out like dudes would do, except they got catty about it, right?
You know how the game goes.
So here's my question. This
what
was the
got?
Question
what do you
that
have?
She said, in Sex and the City,
mm-hmm.
Carrie wears a wedding dress from which fashion designer?
Vera Wang?
Nope.
Ooh.
I never even heard of this person.
Uh-oh. Well, no, I haven't.
But if you follow that show, I'm sure there's people screaming at the radio right now.
I don't follow it like that.
Vivian Westwood?
Oh, okay. It was Vivian Westwood.
You know if you heard of this person?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I'm versed in Sex and the City. It wasn't my favorite show, but I'm versed.
Okay. I'm done. That's all I got.
Oh, that's all we got.
That's
okay.
All I got. I mean, he said, I was not expecting Sam during the break as we were coming back to say, he's a fan. Yeah, I like that show. Sex in the City.
Oh, well, I guess she's a favorite character. I'm not saying I've watched it all the time.
Kim Cattrall was in a movie years ago. It was called Mannequin.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and there was a dude in it who played Vic. I forgot his Hollywood. That was it. Cracked me up.
Yeah.
It's just something silly.
Well, he ended up making a lot of money on designing women.
Oh, is that the same actor?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood.
Yeah.
And we love designing women around here.
Yeah, now designing women is a good show.
We got the champ coming up in the next segment.
Yeah.
Got to remind people. Brian Norman Jr.
And you just saw his knockout. I showed you his.
Yeah, you did. He reminded me of Smokey from Friday when I saw that knockout. That should have been inserted right there. WBO welterweight champion. He's from Decatur, but there is a book bag giveaway going on that he's a part of. And then we can talk about his next fight.
Yep.
That is all on the way. We have spent minimal time talking, at least alluding to what we can expect this upcoming college football season.
Well, you know what? We're through it all. The teams are actually on the field now because we've gone through all the media days. So talking season is over.
Okay.
You have the talking season where you have these events where all the hordes of media show up and ask questions and everybody predicts. And some coaches talk in circles and really don't want to tell you any too much because all the other coaches are around. So we've had those. And this week, teams have hit the field to start their first practices. And so, now it gets on. It gets on in earnest. We're getting to look at something that happened earlier this week.
Prime,
what were your thoughts? Yeah, what are your thoughts with Coach Prime and what's happening when you heard what was happening? And I, when I first heard that he was going to have a press conference, and it was going to have medical people with him,
mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be something he wasn't going to coach.
Right.
That's what I was prepared to hear.
And you thought it was about the leg or his foot.
Yeah, something like that, because the pictures I've seen with him, his legs look really small.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he's been spent a lot of time in bed, and now we know what he's been dealing with. So to hear him come out and speak about it and have the medical professionals there beside him, and he's determined to go back and coach, and as only he can do, be an example of somebody dealing what he's dealing with and still going forward. He's going to find a way to try to show us something that others may kind of shy away from. So, which is kind of, I won't say is what he has to do, but that's in character for him.
Two things.
Okay.
One is, we about a famous man who had a medical issue that was dealt with this past week. It wasn't caused, at least this one, was by the sport he played.
Right.
So he's just a famous person. You know, Michael Douglas has got stage four, whatever, or this actor or this other athlete. So it wasn't anything connected with what he did. But what stayed with me is he knew he was a procedure before the draft. He said that. He said, I knew I was going to get this taken care of before the draft and all that noise that happened with his son.
Yeah.
That's what stuck with me. And you kind of now hit the recoil button on everything that was said, and you try to remember everything that was said, how he carried himself during what Shedeur was going through, and his other son, and Travis, okay? Every time those three came up on the board or brought into a conversation, the camera immediately went to Deion, or at least waited for a reaction from him. So now you got to wonder what really was what this family was going through or he was going through mentally. Having this, if you want to believe the reports of, you know, Shedeur was treated the way he was treated because of his daddy. All right. And some of the things that Deion said leading up to the draft, you know, that want to remind some folks, you know, of I'm thinking of the kids, of the old man, Archie Manning,
Archie, yeah.
What he said about Eli. But it didn't come off that way. It came off as, you know, this is what I'm going to do, and he's going to listen to me, and so on and so forth. And if you want to believe the reports, that there was payback for that. But on top of that, now knowing that he had this on his mind, there you go.
Yeah. So it's on to get on with football, and they're getting set for Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech is going to be the season opener. I said earlier, I think some great things could happen for this Georgia Tech team. Brent Key has done a great job of retaining talent during his time there, and maybe we have something about the depth of his team. Noel, we can hear something from Coach Key talking about his team's depth this year.
3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, in recruiting is, you know, not just bringing a player in because it's the best player you can bring in. Right? But you have to be conscious of what class they are, the spacing between guys at certain positions. I mean, you don't want to get a situation where every position is, you know, 4, 5, 6 guys leaving that year. Right? You got to be able to develop guys in your program. Your fourth safety, your fifth safety, your seventh, eighth offensive lineman, you know, those guys that have been here in the program, have been here for, you know, 2 years, 3 years, right? To be able to retain those guys, I mean, that was really important for us. And then,
important for Georgia Tech team. Like I said, it's not always who you bring in, but if you got people who are doing the things you want to do that fit the character and for the culture that you're establishing, you want to hold on to those guys if you can. Because other people see what they're doing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Other people see, you know, if they can, you know, lure them to that side and move to get some people to hit the transfer portal, that might happen. So that's the case, I think, a lot with Coach King.
And last week when we were talking college football for just a littlest bit, and we dipped our toe in Georgia, and then we brought this up, and I was making a point about Clemson. And you chimed in about not sleeping on what Georgia Tech was doing. We weren't talking about Georgia Tech at the time being. We're just talking college football. And we talked about the SEC, and we talked about the Big Ten and the changes that were being made and the conversations that they were a part of this offseason. And then I brought up ACC, and then is there anything other than what's going on at Clemson? And you gave a full-throated support of what you believe will be a you didn't put a number on it, and you didn't say they were going to achieve X, Y, and Z, but this is a year that folks should not sleep on Georgia Tech
yeah.
and what they're doing.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think that this could be a season the schedule sets up a certain way for them.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about the ACC, they do not have Florida State. They do not have Miami. They do not have North Carolina. And they do not have de facto member Notre Dame on their schedule. If you don't have those teams on your schedule, you're playing in the ACC. I'm not saying it's easy street at all. You know, Duke is better. You know, NC State is a tough out. You got some teams that will challenge you. Wake Forest, depending on which week you catch them. Can do some things with you, but you basically see Clemson out there as your team. You know you got Georgia at the back end of your schedule. You're going to go out here and start the season against Colorado. I just like what this Georgia Tech team has a chance to do this year.
And, man, they could have had – I mean, you take this back 1 year, and this first game, if they'd have gone out there and won it, that would have been significant. But this year, not so much. They take on Colorado.
Yeah.
And if they would have beat last year's Colorado team at home, because Tech's going out there,
yep,
that would be one of those quality wins you talk about. Beating Colorado this year,
yeah,
not so much.
There's talent there.
There's talent, but it ain't like last year.
But they're trying to establish an identity. They're mm-hmm. trying to reestablish who the heck they are. Meanwhile, this Georgia Tech team, they knew pretty well who they are, especially after taking Georgia to the limit like they did late last season. They know what they have the potential of being.
And game three is here with Clemson.
Yep.
So we will see like that. You ever gone into a season, man, Sam, where nobody has much to say about the national champ? It's like the apathy out there. People feel a certain way about Ohio State. They spent more money than anybody else, and they got, okay, you did what you're supposed to do because you spent all that money.
Yeah.
But coming into this season, nobody cares that much about seeing them continued having success. People are putting Penn State at the top of the Big Ten right now. So I just find it interesting that the conversation is minimal about the national champion going in. It's more about the team they beat in the ascent of Notre Dame and the likability of Notre Dame that was heretofore never in place. But, you know, Franklin got them out there. Folks like Notre Dame now. They got a model for the coach.
Yeah, let's see. Right? Let's see what happens.
It is Sam and Greg. We got the champ coming up next, man.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We will. We have spent some time with the champ. Ryan Norman Jr. From our area, the WBO welterweight champion. And he's doing something to help some young folks today. We're going to check in with him, hear about his last fight, hear about his next fight, and more when you join in. It is Sam and Greg with Noel. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com.
Hey, he did good this time. Sam, we got the champ. We got the champ.
Is he here?
He got the champ, Sam.
All right.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you on the Odyssey app on this Saturday late morning, second day of August. I want to thank you for letting us be a part of your Saturday mornings. We have got, I can't remember if we've ever had, well, we had one on before, but yeah, it's been a minute.
Deontay Wilder.
That's right.
And he came with a briefcase. And went, what's in the briefcase?
It was like Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, what's in this black briefcase? And that was the belt. The championship belt was in this black briefcase.
He walked around with it, and wasn't nobody snatching that briefcase. I swear, he carried it. It was like an episode of Pulp Fiction. It was like Pulp Fiction around
here. He always wondered, like, what are you doing with a briefcase, man? What are you doing with that? He had the championship belt in the briefcase.
Hey, champ, we got to tell you real quick here. We got to do a formal introduction. We want to welcome Brian Norman Jr. to the show, welterweight, yes, WBO welterweight champion.
Welcome to the show, man.
World undefeated, Sam.
Welcome, champ.
Undefeated.
Welcome. Champ, I'm glad to be here.
I have to tell you, though, champ, while we were in break here, Sam, who's been covering sports forever and ever and ever, shared a story that I had never heard from before. He actually called Bob Arum's office once, and Bob picked up the phone. He likes to tell this story.
I don't know if he still does that. You're on the top rank. He don't pick up his own phone these days, does he?
Shoot, I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't called him myself because even I don't believe he picked up the phone. If you don't catch me in person, I don't think you can talk to him.
This was years ago.
Set up a meeting. They said he got a 3-month wait time, but he will get you in.
Three month wait, right? Even with a belt strapped around him, he's still got to wait 3 months.
Well, that explains the difference in what it was years ago and what it is now. Man, great to have you on with us. Your story is simply remarkable, and it's something boxing is basically a family situation with you, right?
Yes, sir. As you know, I'm Brian Norman Jr., so I came into the game from Brian Norman Sr., my pops. He used to fight as well. He came up with Vernon Forrest. I know y'all guys know him as well.
Yeah.
So he used to train with him, spar with him all the time as well. So he retired, and here I am. So family business.
Champ, what was that lesson, that whatever it was, that lesson that your father gave you early on that has stayed with you and you remember it throughout your career?
It's going to sound so simple, but it's just simply discipline and consistency. Okay. History will forever repeat itself, and that is the blueprint to everything. We always try to look for the secret to how to succeed in any venture in life, and that's literally what it is. Learn your craft and just stay on it. Don't take too much time off and just do the right thing. We all know the right thing. We all know the wrong thing. Just simply do what we know we're supposed to do. That's where the discipline and consistency come in at.
Well, and then here's my question for a layman person, somebody who likes boxing, loves boxing, and watching it throughout our lives, but maybe doesn't understand this part of it. And it is the foundation, the things that you just talked about, you know, the footwork, the things that aren't pretty and sexy on a regular basis that you had to put the hours and hours and hours in learning. Is that what you're talking about, that the message you got from your father?
Yes. Yes, sir. So a lot of people and anything in life, is they look at the finished product. They see what we present to them in person, but they don't see the background work. And that's where everything real really gets ugly and muggy at. That's where the grind and the process come in. And that's what I love. You got to fall in love with the process of it all.
There you go. People want the sausage. They don't want to see how the sausage is made. Nope. But we're spending time this morning with the champ, yeah, Brian Norman Jr. And he is social. If you're on Twitter, he is at Official B Norman, at Official B Norman. On the Instagram, he is at Official B. Norman, Official B. Norman. You just coming off a very successful defense. A fight didn't last too long, your last one, and you ended it with a left hook. Tell us about that bout.
You said the last bout in Japan?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a real definition of a world champion. I went over to this guy, not just city, not just state, but his own country, his own hometown, real deal. And as you seen, fifth round knockout, took care of Bennett, and I believe they said he lost a month and a half worth of memory because of that fight.
Oh, yeah.
They say he don't even remember signing the contract with me. He said he don't even remember me as a whole person.
Y'all need to see this. Sam showed me that. He showed me the fight. He showed me the knockout. And all of a sudden, all I could think about was Smokey from Friday.
Yeah.
That's all I could think of.
Yeah.
Here's my question to you. What's the best part about being the champ?
Believe it or not, I just love, like I said earlier, it's just the whole process of it all. And the fact that I can be a role model. I think in today's society, we don't really see a lot of good role models. I'm gonna say in life in general, everybody want to be loud, arrogant, boastful, and things of that nature. But you never have real people. You see a whole lot of characters out here. So that's what I love the most. I went through the whole process of it all. I went through a whole lot of grinds and hardships and boxing in life. But look at what I came through. Georgia is not known. As a boxing state, as a boxing city at all. But I'm a country bumpkin. That's what people say. I'm a country dude. I'm not supposed to be here, not supposed to be there. But look at me and look at what I did. So I just like the fact that I can show y'all and tell y'all my story.
Well, we appreciate you spending some time with us to tell us your story. Of course, you got another big fight coming up in November. But before we get into that, you're doing something very special today for some young folks. Talk about what you're doing and why you're doing this today.
Yes, sir. Actually, I'm just packing some stuff up as we speak. But back to school giveaway, that's literally today at 1 o'clock. It starts at 1 o'clock. It's right by Stonecrest Mall. To give you the exact address, it is 7342 Stonecrest Concourse. That's in Lithonia, Georgia, zip code 30038. But back to school giveaway, last minute check-ins, you know, for the kids. You know, school start back on Monday, so whatever y'all need, whatever y'all missing, we got it.
Yeah, that's about what is important to you. And how was school for you? Did you like school, or did you tolerate school, or how was it for you?
Well, actually, I graduated kind of early. I graduated at 17 years old, and turned pro early as well. So I mean, I took care of business myself, so that says it all.
What school you do? You attend school in DeKalb? What school you attend to? Give us a shout out.
Yes, I went to Martin Luther King Junior High School.
Okay. The Lions.
Like our producer is standing up pumping for you right now. You said that. She is pumping up right now. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, champ. No, go ahead.
One more time.
Oh, we thought you were giving a shout out to somebody.
No.
Here's what I wanted to know. Okay, during the time you were coming up, how many different sports did you play, and when did you know boxing or was boxing always going to be the path you took in athletics?
I tried football, and that's when I learned that I'm not really a team sport guy. And the reason being is because I can trust myself. As in, I know I'm going to put the work in, I'm going to do my job. But the fact that it's a team sport, you got 10 other players on the field with you, and you know, they, let's say they playing around, they not on their P's and Q's, they not do what they're supposed to do. And I really didn't like that. But with boxing, literally everything is on me. If I didn't run, if I didn't eat right, if I didn't work out the right way, I did too much, did too little, everything is on me. And I like that. I love accepting that accountability, accepting all of that pressure, and making sure everything is on me, because I know I can trust myself and I will do my part.
That, folks, is the voice of Ryan Norman Jr., your WBO World Welterweight Champion. He's undefeated, 21 KOs. But coming up next, you got a difficult task. You got Devin Haney. Or is it difficult? Let's hear a little of that talk.
Yeah.
Let's hear a little of that pre-fight talk that's coming up, November 22nd, right?
I mean, November 22nd in Saudi Arabia.
In Saudi Arabia,
the definition of a world champion. But they say it's going to be difficult, but we shall see. I'm not here for nothing. I'm not training so hard for nothing. And if this is my sport, it's time for me to take over.
So you, when you go into a bout, you are doing it whatever it is you need to do. You're not thinking about that other opponent and what you hear about, whether it's southpaw or not. There are things that, because we hear that in team sports all the time, too.
Yeah.
If we do what we do, we're not worried about who our opponent is.
But styles do make fights. So, and that's the thing. Which way do you do? Which way do you lean?
Well, I say no matter what, I do study my opponent to, you know, get a gist of what he likes to do, you know, get the habits, get, you know, certain things that he likes to do. Tiger can't change their stripes. So no matter how hard he works, he's still going to have small details in his game that's the same. But for the most part, I look at myself and I study me, because if you are perfect, why you worry about what they're doing? Like you said, styles do make fights, but what if I can fight every style? And not just be good at it, but be great at it.
Yep, that's fantastic. You talk about being the world champion, traveling the world. That goes back to people. I think about a Muhammad Ali, who truly was the world champion, fought, you know, everywhere. Is that something that kind of drives you to go and be in different places? And that does that mean we never going to see you fight around here anymore? Or what what does that mean?
No, I will say Muhammad Ali definitely motivated me to venture out and, you know, fight everywhere, because once again, world champion, you got to fight everywhere. The world loves you, not just your city or state, but the city or state still loves you as well. So I do want a homecoming fight, and God bless me with this victory come November, we can get one right after that.
You know, champ, Sam brought
the fight coming soon.
All right.
Sam brought up Muhammad Ali. You're a welterweight and a guy who years and years ago, you know, focused his career after Ali. Who is the guy that you fought? Is it Sugar Ray Leonard? Is it Ali? Is it somebody else?
Is it Mayweather?
Yeah.
Look.
So with me, I'm a boxing historian, so it's a whole bunch of guys I like to study. But Sugar Ray is also on that list as well. But the main one for me is Roy Jones Jr.
Okay.
I feel like he is the Michael Jordan of boxing, and I don't see why he's not praised as that. But I feel like he had every tool. He had the entertainment. He had everything. But I feel like since they didn't crown him as that, cool, I'll take that crown for him.
Yeah, you do that.
Got ripped off in the 88 Olympics, right?
Yeah, man. You know what I mean? But this man is getting it done. Ryan Norman Jr., you can get a chance to meet him today. Once again, let people know where you're going to be and what time today.
Event starts at 1 o'clock, but the address is 7342 Stonecrest Concourse, Lithonia, Georgia, zip code 30038. That is right outside of Stonecrest Mall.
All right, he's going to have supplies to get folks, young folks ready to go back to school this week. Champ, we appreciate you being on with us this morning.
Yes, sir.
We're probably going to circle back with you before you go for that fight in November and get an update with you. But thank you so much for the time, and best of success going forward and with your event today.
Thank y'all. I appreciate y'all to the utmost.
Thank you.
Like I said before, get these kids to come out here. I know y'all missing out on some stuff, and guess what? We got it. So come through, and we good.
All there right. you go.
There we go.
There you go. Hey, he'll take a selfie with you, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm bringing the belt with me, too.
He got the belt. Oh, you got the championship belt.
No, that's the draw right there.
You don't get
to do
that.
Just like Deontay, I'm breaking my suit.
In the briefcase.
In the briefcase.
There you go.
All right.
Brian Dorman Jr. today. Get your picture taken with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. Man, there are a few people who we have on here who has a title that lasts with them forever and nobody can take it away. When you're the champ, you're the champ.
You're the champ, man. You're
no matter
champ.
What he does,
yeah.
he is always going to be referred to as that.
But he got to wait to get a call with Bob Arum.
Well, that's true. We're going to wrap things up before we turn things over to John Fricke coming up top of the hour to Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Sam and Greg. It's a Saturday. It's August 2nd. It's August, man. You believe that? It's August.
Yep.
Jeez, so.
Yeah, man. Everybody back to school on Monday? Well, not everybody, but most everybody. Some have already gone back. I think we got 11 school systems around the metro Atlanta area that will open the doors on Monday and welcome the folks back. Get back down to business. That's what they get. Once again, that's what they get for having air-conditioned school. These air-conditioned babies.
What you talking about?
If you didn't have air-conditioning, you wouldn't be going back to school in the last week in July. You know, just think about that.
And that's the reason.
That's the reason why they're back. They're back in your air-conditioned babies. Get on back up in there. You know that's what I'm talking about. You know, we didn't have air-conditioned school. We couldn't go till after Labor Day. Too hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, go ahead. It's nice and climate controlled in there, y'all. Going back in there.
If you just joined us, we discovered during the show that the country of Monaco could literally fit inside Central Park in New York.
Central Park, New York, Central Park.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Monaco, Monte Carlo is one of those places, one of those James Bond spots, the Dream Team practice there, all of that. All of that. That whole place could fit in Central Park. I did not know that. When I heard it, I went, I got to bring this up this weekend. I just got to fit into the insignificant information that Sam and I talk about on a regular basis. Got John Fricke. John Fricke's coming up top of the hour. We were going to thank some people that were a part of last week, and did we do that sufficiently? Noel, Slim, folks out with the Falcons.
I mean, Noel made it seem like everything was smooth.
Yeah.
When we got out there, we were like, hey.
Well, there was a different location folks were at, but they eventually got there.
Oh, yeah.
I love stuff like that. See, there's others who get worked up at it.
It's okay. It all came together.
But yeah, but while it's going on.
In the process.
I love that.
You're like, you know.
Nah, see me, there's a scene in, I think it was the movie Parenthood, where somebody was getting all anxious and worked up about it, and they were picturing a roller coaster. And the analogy was, that's what life is. It's a roller coaster, right? There's ups and downs. And we were back and forth with Mike Conti, and he was apologizing. And I said to him, listen, there's nothing more boring than perfection. It's things like that that happen. It's things that happen you don't expect. As long as you come out of it okay, you know, I look at this like Thanksgiving and Christmas table stories. You know, when you're sitting around with the family. Y'all remember what happened back in July? Y'all remember what happened when we went here? Yeah, if everything went fine, nobody wants to hear about it. It's like pictures from a plane. Right? You ever see that? You're nice about it, but it's a picture from a plane. You really can't see nothing.
Right. You're up so far.
It's their first flight. You got it. You know, you get, oh, well, that's nice. Oh, you enjoyed it. Oh, yeah, nice view. Okay. But so I was not that worked up when things weren't flowing right last week. But as you said, they all turned out right. It's like the fourth of July. This is what radio is, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very much what you got.
Today was the day that 8 Major League Baseball players were acquitted for throwing the World Series.
Man.
This was the day in 1921. Wink, wink, wink. A Chicago jury acquitted the 8 White Sox players, which eventually became the Black Sox scandal. Have you seen that movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of the actors, did you know that many could play baseball and look convincing at it?
You mean it's just for us, the guys that were there?
D.B. Sweeney, who played Shoeless Joe.
Right.
I mean, you got to be. I mean, that was one of the baseball players, period, ever, right? And you're playing this dude. Now, luckily for him, there wasn't a lot of footage of him, and you never heard Joe Jackson talk, but he pulled it off. You could believe that this dude was Joe Jackson. Forget about it. Charlie Sheen surprised everybody.
Right.
Nobody knew Charlie Sheen could play baseball the way he did. We eventually saw it again in Major League.
Mm-hmm.
David Stratham, I think, was the guy who played Seacott, the pitcher. He's in everything, too. He's that actor you see in a number of things. But again, this is a movie that if you haven't seen, this is a perfect day for Eight Men Out, right?
Yeah, it could be.
Before the Braves game tonight.
Okay.
Eight Men Out, I recommend that movie about the 1919 White Sox that, you know, through the World Series were bribed. What's his name? It's on the tip of my tongue. The gambler who threw it all.
Which one?
The main dude who threw the World Series, who sent the money out. It's going to drive me crazy.
Okay.
And y'all are too young to remember all this. So. Then again, so am I.
I'll tell you what, you can watch the movie or you can watch NASCAR. NASCAR is rolling in Iowa this weekend. And if you missed it earlier, Adam Alexander joined us. He'll be on the call for the Xfinity Series race that takes place today around 3:30. They are qualifying. They're having the Xfinity Series qualifying, Cup Series qualifying around 12:30. And tomorrow, the Cup Series will race the Iowa Corn 350. Iowa Corn 350 on a short track, 350 laps. That's going to go quick. To me, that's a race where the strategy is a little bit different. It's not like 400 or 500. What you're going to do, you got to do pretty quick. And I can imagine that where you qualify and your pit situation is going to be pretty crucial, always on a short track. But Adam talked about the things about driving there, about the racing surface, about they've done some patching to that track, and it's kind of rough and abrasive. It might have something to do with tire wear. A lot of things could come into play with the race this week as they go from the Brickyard last week into a short track in Iowa this week as they just, you know, they continue to vary things up, not just the same kind of surface, not just the same kind of oval each and every week, but giving a different kind of challenge for the drivers, and that's just what they have coming up this week.
Arnold Rothstein. It drives me crazy. I can't believe I forgot that. Arnold Rothstein, who had all kinds of connections with other underworld stuff. He kind of went away shortly thereafter. But watch Boardwalk Empire. That's another watch. That's a good watch.
Okay.
Boardwalk Empire. To go all about that. And then the birth of the five families, how Capone and Luciano and Meyer Lansky and all those guys came up. And it's a good watch. Man, it's also 3 years.
3 years?
3 years to the day we lost Vin Scully.
Man. Wow.
Lost Vin Scully on this day 3 years ago.
Amazing voice. Incredible voice. Incredible talent.
Some others that were, again, during the season. We talked about things that happened during the season. Ricky Henderson got his 100th stolen base on August 2nd. That's back in 82. Did it again the next year. But lost Thurman Munson on this date.
Wow.
Thurman Munson for the Yankees died in a plane crash. Happened on this day. But other baseball people, and again, we talk about this every time. A name of a player who used this pitch, but Tim Wakefield. Is he the last knuckleball pitcher?
That you know of, you know, that was really pronounced, that was his big pitch. The last one I can think of. There are some pitchers who probably dabble in it, maybe, you know, would use it.
Are you surprised, though, that nobody has why wouldn't you bring the knuckleball back? Is my question. If you can tell
because
me
it's,
why.
Because it's not taught. The travel ball coaches aren't telling you to do it. It's why do you have the hook shot? Because the travel ball coaches aren't going to tell the player you got to practice.
Sky
that.
Hook?
A sky hook. You know, or just hook shot, period. You don't see the hook shot, period. I mean, it's something you got to practice. And it's something that kids don't naturally want to practice. And the travel ball folk ain't going to tell you to do it. You know, the high school coach may say, why don't you try it? Stay after practice. Stay after practice.
Like, why are you cussing at me like that? Yeah, really.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So that's why you don't see it. That's why you don't see a knuckleball. There's no coach that's gonna recommend somebody do it. Matter of fact, Wakefield didn't come in as a pitcher. Now Wakefield was a utility guy. I saw Wakefield play minor league ball down in Augusta. He would come out of the dugout every day with a glove and two mitts, trying to just get on the field somewhere. He was having trouble hitting his weight,
right?
And that's why he started pitching the knuckleball just to save his career.
It's funny, and Rick Ankiel went the other way.
Yeah.
It was a pitcher, couldn't hit the side of a barn, got the yips, and then went out to the outfield.
Yeah, to the outfield and ended up, you know, prolonging his career. So, yeah, that's That's the deal with Wakefield that I actually got to see in person.
Everything that you just said made me think of Noel, and I'm going to make her smile right now because there was a person who came up with or perfected a shot that not a lot of people did, but now it's sort of identified with him, and that's Trae Young. And I ain't seen many people do the teardrop in a while.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he does it now regularly, and they know that he does that regularly.
Yeah.
They actually – Trae might drop this. You can't say that about any other player. We'll stop and drop the remote control if I see or we see a special on George Gervin because I want to see that finger roll again, right? The way he did it.
Right.
But you don't see that anymore. Now, that's more flash than convenience.
That's true. But a shot like you're talking about, the teardrop shot.
The teardrop is that, yeah, you need that or it could come in hand, especially for somebody his size.
You got to put the work in.
That's what I'm saying. So we got to give him his props for doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hall of Fame. I guess we will get the speeches tonight.
Tonight
the speeches. Jared Allen, Antonio Gates, Eric Allen, and Sterling Sharp going in.
Wow. Talk about a bittersweet week for these guys.
Yeah.
Listen, God bless them. They both made it to the Hall of Fame. I was wondering if Sterling was going to get in.
Yeah.
I really did. I wondered if he was going to get in and – again, if you don't remember what this dude was, he was a beast. But he actually, in talking about going into the hall, he sat down and did a whole back and forth about playing against Deion and how he had success against Deion. And it's a good watch. You guys can put that up on YouTube and check it out. But he was talking about just being physical with him.
Oh, yeah.
Just being physical with him and because you ain't got to outrun him.
Yeah, true, yeah.
You can't do a post pattern on Deion. Everybody knew that. So you had to, if you were that type of receiver, come at him. And, you know, it was obviously he won some, Deion won some. But it was, like I said, it was an interesting listen.
It's good to see him make it in. I covered him during his college time. I always tell you went to Columbia, South Carolina on a Saturday to see South Carolina play when he was on the team. You got your money's worth. He was worth the price of admission. They would line him up in every different way. You knew the ball was coming, and they still relentless. They still couldn't figure out a way to stop him. I mean, so they line him up in the backfield. They split him out. They put him in motion. They do all kind of stuff with him. He ran back kicks and punts, just anything to get the ball in his hands. He was that kind of performer in college.
Noel, thank you for today and doing a wonderful job producing in your contribution, Noel's World, and all that other stuff. Of course, you can hear Noel Thursday night with Jason Longshore.
Yes.
On The Intersection, right? Did I get that right name? Okay. It's The Intersection Thursday nights. Go ahead. What? Oh, I couldn't hear what you said.
But. Yes, Thursday night on The Intersections at 10 o'clock. Join me and Jason Longshore at the corner of sports and everything else as we throw darts at people and more.
and she makes him talk about stuff other than soccer, which is the best part of
that.
Wow. Yeah, she does.
Can you do that?
Yes, she can. She can do that. Noelle can do that. By the way, speaking of Falcons, we are going to be out at training camp again on Monday. Morning Shift, Steakhouse, and Andy Randy will be at Flowery Branch. Dukes and Bell will be at Hooters in Mall of Georgia, and it's going to be that way Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. With the exception of Dukes and Bell, Wednesday they're going to be at the Buffalo Cafe in Flowery Branch. Mr. Crenshaw, have yourself a big week.
You do as well.
Thank you all for letting us be a part of your weekend mornings. Again, the casting call is up on Get Cast with Greg on X and 929thegame.com/castingcall. Arthur Blank Children's Hospital will be out there this week with some makeup artists from the industry, putting smiles on the faces of these kids. Looking forward to it. And Mr. Fricky, John Fricky, up next. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday and Sunday. This is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.